Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bonomer. Thanks for joining us for today's podcast titled Coronavirus Facts Only. Every day around midday, I'll talk with a doctor about COVID-19 and how we're getting through this crisis and change of lifestyle. Let's welcome once again Dr. Fred Buchhold. Dr. Buchhold is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. He's also the co-host with me of Health Matters, presented by SSM Health every Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock on KMOX. Dr. Buchhold, thanks for joining us again.
I'm glad to be here.
Wanted to get your reaction to these new stay-at-home orders for St. Louis City and St. Louis County residents and residents in Illinois. What's your take on this?
So, again, I'm very pro. Again, gathering of people is how this spreads. And the more we spread people out kind of at this critical inflection time, the better our chances, frankly. It's probably not going to curb the rise of cases you're going to see in the next week. Those are patients that have already, when we get those positive cases, those are patients that are already probably infected, you know, a week ago. But the effect of this you start to see after about 10 to 14 days. And that's, you know, kind of planning for the future of this so that, you know, that concept that a lot of people talk about flattening the curve. You know, what really hurts us with this is not just the number of cases, but the number of cases that kind of come in very, very quickly. That just overwhelms the healthcare system. It overwhelmed China. It overwhelmed Italy. It's getting ready to overwhelm New York, if not already yet, and overwhelmed people up in Seattle. So, I mean, that's what we're trying to do is get to that before that occurs, and hopefully there's a payoff to that.
According to these new orders, what is allowed and what isn't allowed?
So, from my understanding, is basically essential. So you know, getting groceries, getting your prescriptions at a drugstore. Those are still allowable things. Do you need to go buy a new pair of shoes right now or to do furniture shopping? Probably not. Those are the type of activities that are not allowed. I think the other important thing is, you know, you're still allowed to go outside and go to a park and walk and exercise. You know, again, hopefully you're keeping that social distancing, but it's just not stay in your house and do nothing and live in isolation. You know, I think getting some fresh air, getting some exercise in is if anything, more important now than ever. For those very reasons that's good for our health, it's good for our bodies, you know, and that's probably something we're not doing now that we're not out and about as much as we were, say, 2-3 weeks ago.
What do you say to those who don't take these orders very seriously and they're like, oh, it's not going to affect me, I'm still going to go out and do stuff?
Well, first, I think that's foolish. As I've said before, this is an equal opportunity destroyer of worlds, basically. It just doesn't matter what strata of society or where you live, we're all vulnerable and at risk for getting this. And you know, again, there's the odds. So the older you are, the odds this causes a severe illness is higher, but this can cause severe illness for anybody and can cause death for anybody. And that's kind of, I think, the part that's scary. And then the second part is, I think, the wider responsibility, you know, and I think, you know, this is part of that civics lesson we all got in maybe grade or high school that maybe we're not remembering now. But, you know, we not only have an obligation to ourselves and our families, but an obligation to everybody else in our community. And you know, while you may feel you're at low risk and feel you can do the things you want to do, you know, there's a seismic effect of those decisions that can affect your grandmother or your friend's grandmother or your friend's mom or you know, who knows what. And so we all have a responsibility, not just to ourselves, but to others too. And just, you know, employ to be smart and just, you know, adhere to these policies as best as you can.
The St. Louis City and St. Louis County stay-at-home orders last 30 days. Do you think that's sufficient? Think that's long enough? I know some places it's only 15 days.
Yeah. You know, I thought that was pretty forward-thinking and a huge political risk. And I credit the leaders for doing this. You know, you can always rescind it. You know, I think the nature of how this goes in the next 2 weeks, I think, is really going to be telling. You know, do we see a spike like we've seen in New York or in Washington, or, you know, do we flatten that curve in this community? And I think time will tell. But I think it's wise to plan ahead. This is a long game we have to play. This is not a, you know, in a couple of weeks this will blow over, but I think we have to be ready for the effects of this for, you know, through the summer, if not into the fall, and maybe even longer. It's hard to know. So I think a little bit of foresight goes a long way. I really applaud that decision. I know it's not easy.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a slew care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, what's the visitor policy like now at your hospital?
It's quite stringent. Basically no visitors. At some instances you can come if you meet certain criteria. But we're just trying to limit the containment here. And the people that can visit have to have approval and have to meet the screening guidelines. So if you have any symptoms whatsoever, you will not be let up to see your loved one. And It's an extreme reaction, but I think it's, you know, really for the safety of our patients and our healthcare workers too. And so, you know, I think these are just the measures we have to implement, unfortunately.
What are you seeing there at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital? Are you seeing more people coming in? Is it getting overwhelming?
No. I think we're seeing people stay away, and, you know, kind of as we wind down our non-urgent patient encounters, where kind of the amount of people interfacing with the healthcare system has gone down. And I think people are staying away if they don't have, you know, I think if they have, they're kind of on a, you know, traditionally would be maybe a 50-50 decision point of trying to decide if they want to seek a doctor or go to emergency room. I think that calculus has changed a little bit. And, I think the volumes are down a little bit. And, it's kind of, again, I don't know if joke is the right word, but, you know, I didn't know if this was, you know, just a good sign or the calm before the storm, so to speak. And, you know, we're prepared for the latter, of course.
What's the mask situation like there in the medical supply situation?
Tight. I think that's probably the biggest stressor. And over the weekend, I was dealing with some stuff, just concerns and questions about that. Of, you know, we're really trying to ration and make intelligent use of our supplies and make sure that we don't waste it needlessly. That leads to a lot of gray areas that we're not used to. And you know, what's the right answer? What to do here? It's complicated, and it's definitely a source of angst. And, I think the biggest worry is that and this is myself, I won't speak for others, but I'm pretty sure this is true with everybody else, is, you know, I have no problem taking care of patients. Anybody that walks through our doors, I consider a privilege to take care of, my duty. But I don't want to get sick either, and I want to be protected and safe and make sure that in doing what I am, responsible for doing, I'm doing it in a safe manner and my colleagues are safe. And just that knowledge that there's a limitation in this and we may be faced with some tough decisions creates a lot of anxiety. It's very uncomfortable to kind of wade through that. And extremely, like I've said before, it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating to see we haven't had more leadership with us.
Over the weekend, we heard about a shift in testing policy in some parts of the country where COVID-19 is hitting really hard. The message there is if you think you have COVID-19, assume you do and stay home. No need for a test. Don't come to a doctor's office or come to a hospital unless you call first and unless you're having trouble breathing. Is that kind of the policy that you think should be implemented here?
Yeah. And again, the caveat is when you stay at home, you're social distancing and self-quarantine for a while. And again, I I highly recommend people go to the, you know, there's the SSM virtual site that kind of risk stratify you for whether or not you should be considered to be at risk for this. It's very, very helpful as a kind of a quick start. But again, we're ramping up our testing capabilities. We have more available as we built our own in-house test. But, you know, it's still limited, and we want to really focus on people where we have important clinical questions, or we want to make sure we isolate them when they're in a healthcare facility. But again, if you have minor symptoms, or you're not short of breath, really feeling ill, it's probably worth staying away until you develop those respiratory symptoms of really feeling short of breath. And that's when I would recommend seeking care.
I heard one doctor on television say, we should take ourselves back 1 year ago. And if we had these symptoms a year ago, would we have gone to the hospital or sought out a doctor? And maybe that's how we should think about it today. If it's, you know, something that would have been common and we could have handled ourselves a year ago, maybe we should do that today.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like I said, that the hard thing about this is, although that's true, there's a psychology there that plays a role. I've mentioned this before too. I've had a couple times where, you know, I ran up a couple flights of stairs and I noticed a little short of breath more than I would be, and you start to think about that, and you know that psychology plays with you quite a bit. So, you know, worst comes to worst, I think giving your doctor a call or doing that virtual visit, I think, provides some reassurance. I think if you've had a stuffy nose, runny nose, or sore throat, or dry cough, you're not feeling 100%. It very well could be allergies, but again, if you're not sure, just stay home. And at this point, most people should be staying home with the orders out in place anyway. But I think a year ago, he's absolutely right. We wouldn't even think about these things. Just, I think that's part of how this has completely transformed our psyche.
We're talking with Dr. Fred Buchholz. Dr. Buchholz is a SLU care general internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. Dr. Buchholz, I've got a couple of listener questions that I want to run by you. One listener said, in light of these new guidelines, what do you think about a play date, if maybe you would just have a child to come over and play with your child?
No. And again, I'm at home over the weekend with my four children. And, that's a very... it's tough to not have your neighbors come over or play with your neighbors and your friends. But it's just, I think that's just the reality. That's why we close schools. We're trying to prevent the transmission. And every time you interact with a novel human being that you have interacted for a while, there's a possibility for transmission. Just like we've done virtual visits, and I made a joke about virtual happy hours, which has become a thing. Virtual play date sounds great. That might be something to institute. It's very easy to do, actually. So certainly we advocate for that and come up with creative ways to do this. But face-to-face contact that is not social distancing, would definitely recommend not doing that.
Another listener wants to know, how long can the virus stay in the air?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's been some studies that have looked at this, and it sounds like about 3 hours in terms of just when you actually just test it. Now, how long that's contagious or infectious is a different question. We don't know. But again, I think just with that, I kind of mentioned about this last week, is it's not only just the fact it's in the air and it can be in the air for 3 hours. The fact when you're around a lot of people that are aerosolizing this or sneezing or breathing and transmitting this, that there's a higher concentration of virus out there, which has a big role in terms of its transmission as well. So, but it certainly, it seems like it sticks around for a while. And again, what makes this so hard is the same thing. It just, people without symptoms transmit this, and that's kind of how it spreads like wildfire so quickly through a community.
I have a listener that wants to know about our money, the currency. How dirty is our currency? How dangerous could that be for us picking up the coronavirus?
Yeah, I think that's something that's probably not a massive concern. Again, kind of what I've talked about before is, problem or concern number one and two, and that takes up probably 90% of my concern, is just this idea of crowded areas, and then, good hand hygiene, washing your hands with soap and water, preferably alcohol if that's not available. I think those are the two things that are going to prevent, do the best to prevent you getting this infection, if anything. you know, money's everything you touch has bacteria and viruses on it. It just is the law of the land. And our immune systems are adapted to that. That's why we have skin, which is such a tough, it's probably one of our toughest defenses against infection that there is. So, you know, as long as you're not doing weird things with your money, I think if you keep it away from your nasal and oral passages, you're in probably good shape. So I don't know how you would, what activity would get money up that close to you. I guess if you're smelling money or something, but you know, I think it's probably fine. Wash your hands.
This morning on the Today Show, Surgeon General Jerome Adams was talking about what sort of week this is going to be, and I want you to take a listen to what he said.
I want America to understand this week, it's going to get bad. And we really need to come together as a nation. I heard the stories that you were just playing, young people out on beaches. We see here in D.C. that the district set up a cam for people to watch the cherry blossoms. You look on the cam, you see more people walking around than you see cherry blossoms. And this is how the spread is occurring. And so we really, really need everyone to stay at home.
You don't think people are taking it seriously?
I think that there are a lot of people who are doing the right things, but I think that, unfortunately, we're finding out a lot of people think this can't happen to them.
What do you think?
Well, I think he's right. I think the problem is policy. So, and again, I'm treading a fine line here, but you know, I could talk to people about smoking all the time, and I do. You know, one of the greatest variables to getting people to quit smoking is policies in place, you know, a smoking ban or, you know, making smoking illegal or whatnot. And not that that's going to ever happen, but it just policy drives this. So I think this is up to our governments, you know, local, state and national say no. And, you know, say this is there's a lockdown or a clampdown. It's going to happen. I mean, you can kind of see how this has kind of slowly built up over the last couple of weeks, where everybody's doing everything until you start to see conferences and meetings get canceled and concerts and other, you know, I think, you know, I was talking with some friends over the weekend, like the big driver for this really was the NBA shutting down their season. You know, they had one person test positive, and then that started this whole conversation where people started taking this seriously. And, you know, I think if the NBA is the leader of making decisions for the health of our public, I think that's I think it says something. I don't know what, but I really just am an advocate for, at least for a short time, on a, you know, state or national level, to really just kind of clamp everything down so that these things are strongly discouraged to happen. In fact, as in California, there's some teeth to it in the sense that you could get a misdemeanor fine, although it looks like the beaches in LA had a bunch of people on them too, so I don't know how much they're enforcing that. So, but just asking people to change behavior never works. Providing tools for them to change behavior is what does it, and I think that's where policy comes in. We need, you know, continue to talk to our elected officials to say why this is, we think this is important, and encourage them to do that. Flip side, just to be fair to them, you know, it's crippling the business, and there's economic costs to this too. So it's not an easy decision. It takes, you know, there may be consequences to this that people have to send that risk forward, and our county and city leaders have taken that risk, and, you know, maybe there'll be political blowback for it. But I think they've done the right thing, personally.
Dr. Buchholz, I know a lot of people that have been listening to this and following the coronavirus outbreak are scared. What optimism can you give these people? What sense of hope is there?
Well, I think still, you know, I'm always hesitant to, like, talk about it in this way. I mean, even if you look at Italy, which is just getting devastated right now, you know, and the deaths seem to be escalating. I think yesterday or something like 750 deaths, or over the weekend. I forgive me, I don't know the exact numbers. You know, there's still big things that still occur much more frequently. And, you know, all this is really kind of tax the U.S. healthcare system. You know, I think most people will get through this and do okay. So I think on an individual basis, there's less of a, I think we're getting more scared than we need to be, but I get why we're scared, because this is totally unknown. And again, I think the other part, we've had this kind of conversation in our own group and our own practice, is, you know, it's pushing innovation quickly, you know, and kind of that gumption that I think we've always had as Americans that we don't always have. We're, you know, instead of looking to others to solve our problems, we're having to solve our problems for ourselves and figure out ways to modify our ventilators or get a hold of patients or, you know, have a meeting or have a conference in a completely different way. And you know, I've actually kind of enjoyed it. I've enjoyed kind of the different things I've done the last week just to interact with people in a different way and creatively problem solve. And, you know, as a community, if we had the opportunity to do that, I think, you know, maybe there'll be some, when we come out of this, and we will come out of this, that you know, things will change for the better. And maybe we'll have different discussions about healthcare and systemic issues with healthcare that I personally have been dealing with for a long time that make us advocates for a better system and a better region and a better country.
Dr. Buchholz, thanks for joining us again. Appreciate all the time.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. I appreciate the questions, too. They're really great, so keep them coming.
Dr. Fred Buchholz is a SLU Care General Internist at SSM Health St. Louis University Hospital. He's also the co-host with me of Health Matters, presented by SSM Health, airing every Saturday afternoon on KMOX at 4 p.m. So please come back again to KMOX.com and check out our next podcast titled Coronavirus Facts Only. This is KMOX Health Editor Fred Bottomer. Thanks so much for listening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.